And welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am recording this episode the day before I'm going to Disneyland with my husband and my baby for the first time. We're going with us three. I usually go without him, so it's a big deal. I'm very excited. I'm taking Pearl to Disneyland. And I gotta tell you, I know I talk about my baby a lot, and I try not to be that type of mom, but it's in terms of Disneyland, so there's a reason I'm yapping about her. I feel like I've taken her a few times. Like, I took her when she was 8.5 months to Disney World. She crawled the second she got home. I've taken her to Disneyland maybe 3 or 4 times. But I honestly feel like she had one of those leaps. Like, she's starting to really become a person. She's almost a year old. She's very close to being a year old. And I have this weird feeling that I'm going to take her to Disneyland on Friday and she's going to walk after. I don't know why. I just feel like if I took her to Disney World and she crawled, if she goes with me and Ben, like, we go to Disneyland, she's going to walk after. It's going to, like, unlock her brain to go. She still hasn't been on Dumbo. Like, we're going to go on Dumbo. We're going to probably do Peter Pan if I can handle the line. Just because she's heavy. That's all I'm getting at. She's heavy. But I have a feeling like this is going to be a really big trip for her. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited to go back to the park. I stopped being a Disneyland regular for a while. I didn't have an annual pass anymore. I originally had the annual, the Gulf Coast annual pass, what do they call it? I don't even remember. It's evaporated out of my mind. The one that they had before the pandemic that was the Platinum Pass. I think it was the Platinum Pass. That's what it was. Coast to coast, 365 days a year, Disneyland, Disney World, no reservations. And it was about $2,200. Boy, do I miss those days. But I did get a Disneyland Magic Key. And now I've been taking it all the time. And it's really, really nice to be able to use it before we're locked out for the summer. It's been really nice to go so frequently and to really feel like I'm back in the theme park mix after taking time off to gestate, one might say. So that's the big thing that's going on in my world. The other thing I want to mention, which I don't think I've mentioned in the interest of the past few weeks, is that y'all know when I watch a show, it's like I am in it. I am in a TV show, and then I move on to the next one. And I am in it on Suits still, obviously. But now I'm really into The Amazing Race. And the problem is, when you get really into a competition show, and it's one that's already aired, you can't Google a single thing. There are so many things I want to Google about these people who are not my family. the son and the dad, the high school sweetheart couple, the couple that owned a grocery store, the bearded guys. Like, I want to Google these people and I can't. The same thing with Suits. I wanted to Google certain things, but I didn't want to ruin any plot lines because even now, I know Meghan Markle's about to leave the show, but I don't know how they're going to write her out. What are they going to do to write her out? So I can't Google a thing and I just feel so stuck. I just want to know more about these people. And it's every night I watch a show and I scarf dinner. I scarf my food while I watch this because I'm so anxious about it. And then I have a stress dream and then I wake up in the morning and do it all over again because I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm not a reality show person. I'm not a competition person. I don't watch The Challenge. I don't do any of that. I don't watch Survivor, though I probably will after this. But it's been nice. It's been really, really nice. Also, thank you so much to everyone for the kind reception to the Tokyo episodes. I hope you enjoyed them. They were it took a lot of work to put them together, but I'm so glad we pulled them off. And I'm so glad they're out there so that if you are contemplating going to Tokyo, if you have a trip planned, if you need extra information, you just hit play. You hit play and you can download it all directly into your brain. And I've already heard from multiple people who have already visited the parks and they've helped, which is so nice. Oh my God. I'm so glad they were helpful. I'm gonna turn it over to future me and hope you enjoyed the podcast. I might get in trouble for some of these this week, but I wanted to do something a little spicy. So we're doing it. Okay, stick around. This one's gonna be fun.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Today, we are talking about the things I will not do at a theme park. And while many of you may be expecting this to be just me saying, I won't eat blue food 12 times over. I assure you that's not what this is. Though I will say, the one caveat I had for blue food, the one little oopsies where I said, okay, I'm going to eat it, was at Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, RIP, which no longer exists, those blue shrimps. So I think I'm fully back on the won't eat blue food train. I don't think there's any other blue food in Disney. Again, this is not what the episode is, but there's no other blue food in Disney that I will eat. So, wow, I can really stand behind that now. Ooh, I love that. Anyway, before we get into this, I want to provide a hefty disclaimer that this is all in good fun. If there's something that I will not do that you love, that's okay. That's okay. Those differences bring us together. Those differences are what make some of the spiciest, best churros hotline calls. But again, of course, some of this stuff you're going to do, even if you don't like it, if your loved ones do it, you're going to power through, even if it's not your favorite thing, which I think is wonderful. But for me, for this episode, personally, my perspective on this stuff is that this is stuff I'm just not going to choose to do. I'm not going to go out of my way to do. And again, we will differ on these because a lot of the stuff I'm mentioning here is super, 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 super popular. Some of people's favorite things. But for me, it's just stuff. It's just not how I personally live my theme park life. And that's okay. It's okay. I don't want anyone to yell at me. These are just my personal thoughts. But hopefully you at least glean some sort of agreement or understanding from where I am. Let's get into it, starting with one of my loudly longest held beliefs. I'm simply not going on Davy Crockett's Explorer canoes. No siree. I did not pay top dollar to get into what most people generally consider the best theme park resort in the West Coast, let alone the country and possibly the world, Disneyland Resort, to do some exercise. I am not here to work with strangers on a rowing team. Like, I'm not in college playing a collegiate sport. I am not an athlete. I cannot paddle. I don't have very good upper body strength. This is not the theme park activity for me. And when I am at Disneyland, it is a treat. I like to eat yummies. I like to run on popcorn. I like to be so dehydrated, I think I might faint. I truly like to just have so much fun. Like, I'm a kid at a birthday party, having my third serving of cake, having a great time. And having to exercise my way across a body of water is just not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. Now, I've never done them, and in the name of research, there probably will come a time where I will have to. I accept that. I will have to eat my own words and actually try this one time, just so I can double down and say that I don't like it. But I can tell you, from standing on the ground, on the solid ground of Disneyland, I'm not getting in these canoes without a fight. I'm not doing it. And I applaud especially the cast members who do the canoe races. That cannot be easy. That's like the highest octane version of this belief. But for me, if I'm on vacation, which I am, even if I live in LA and I'm going to Disneyland for the day, I'm not here to exercise. I'm not here to exercise. I'm here to have fun. And fun for me is not pushing a vehicle with my limbs. Something I won't ever do again at a theme park, Mission Space. Life is short, and I've made it too far to subject my brain and my body to being this sick on an Epcot attraction. Now, am I newly obsessed with suits and want to see my girl Gina do the pre-show spiel once more? Of course. But like, I survived a pandemic. I'm not about to lock myself in a small box with strangers to do pretend space training where a positive outcome is that I don't have to use the onboard barf bag. Mission Space on its own is a very cool ride. I'll admit it. I don't deny it. Being able to experience a simulator like this at a theme park is incredibly cool. And it provides a wonderful opportunity for any kid who may be dreaming of participating in space travel in the future. It enhances Epcot's science museum-y vibe. And most importantly, it's one of the few attractions that still does not have character or IP integration. So it really feels kind of locked in time from a different Disney World era, so have you. But I just think, if we're at the point where Apple is literally selling wearable headsets that'll transport you just as well as this attraction, it's skippable on your next trip, which means it's skippable on the next trip and the next trip. And soon you'll be just like me, years out from your last Mission Space encounter and totally fine with it. And don't worry, the same rules apply for the Simpsons ride at Universal on both coasts. That attraction is cursed and I am never going on it again. Another thing I'll never do at a theme park, prioritize most seasonal festivals. Now, hold on a minute. I know some of you live or die by Epcot festivals, and I am not passing judgment. Again, if you love a festival, I am genuinely happy for you. And frankly, a little bit jealous because I wish I could glean the same amount of joy from a temporary celebration that the rest of you do. The only one that does it for me is Lunar New Year. As you know, that DCA festival is legit. And I am so jealous that y'all get to feel the same happiness every few months in Florida. However, when it comes down to it, I am just not a food festival person. I've learned this about myself. I know it now. And I'd rather stick to the classics because I see it going one of two ways. I either buy something at these festivals that is available for a limited amount of time and I don't like it, which is a bummer, or I buy something at these festivals, which is available for a limited amount of time, and I love it, which means I likely can't get it again on my next trip, which is also a bummer. And that said, I do feel this way outside of theme parks, beyond Disney as well. This is not Disney specific. It is truly global. It is worldwide. Because to me, if a food item was that good, it would be on the menu year round. And yes, Frushi is fun, and that violet lemonade is delicious. But I am too old to look forward to dining on trash cans, and I'd rather spend the 30 or 40 bucks that I would spend on different tastes and just get one or two things I really, really want at a restaurant. That's not saying that the opposite is bad or the wrong way to do it. It's just personally, that's what I would prefer. That's what I would prefer. I love to sit. I love to sit when I'm out at a restaurant. I love to sit. That said, I have to acknowledge that I do love how much they infuse seasonal joy into different times of the year. I love that these festivals bring different cultures and their cuisines into the parks where applicable. The art booths are so fun to walk by. I love the booth with the creepy little dolls. You know what I'm talking about. Those creepy little dolls, what are they called? Like Marie Alexander, or you know when I'm talking about the creepy little dolls that truly I cannot buy one because if I bought more than one, I would have a house full of them staring back at me, which would be so fun, but we don't have to go there. I don't need to spend my life savings on little dolls dressed like Pluto and Goofy, even though they are so cute and I'm tempted every single time. But anyway, it's such a fun addition to the park. The additional entertainment is fantastic. And yeah, I'm not opposed to ogling some topiaries. That's awesome. But for me, it's more of an, oh, cool, that's happening, than anything else. And I genuinely don't seem to plan travel around it. Things I'll no longer do at a theme park? Turn my nose up to off-property hotels. If you are anything like me, you have that little voice in your head that goes, staying off property at Disney World, it's just not right. But lately, I feel like that little voice in my head is incorrect. While so many of us default towards thinking staying at Disney World is the right choice at one of their Disney-operated hotels, I'm planning a trip to the parks right now, and for my needs on certain trips, it really does make more sense to stay somewhere that isn't operated by Disney. And I don't actually mean this in terms of money or even credit card loyalty, which is a main factor for many people traveling to Orlando. All of my trips typically come down to, do I need a car or am I okay without one? As you know, I go to Florida for work by myself. I go to Florida with family. I've taken the baby to Florida. There's a lot of different kinds of travel happening. And now that Disney's Magical Express is no longer offered, I'm gonna have to pay money to get to my hotel regardless. And renting a car does sometimes financially make more sense. I'll be honest, a secondary gigantic factor in this is that, of course, if I'm driving, if I'm going to go to the airport, then I can stop at Gideon's East End on the way, which means I also alleviate having to save a half day and earmark that for going to Disney Springs and getting Gideon's cookies and stressing about getting my beloved treats while on my Disney vacation. So yeah, a car sometimes does win out. On certain trips when I'm park hopping a lot, or if I don't want to deal with lots of walking all the way to the front gate, yada, 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 or even if I don't know where I'm going to end up later that afternoon or that night, particularly on a solo trip if I'm just flying loose and free and hanging out with friends, I'm likely going to Uber back to my hotel anyway. And of course, you do miss out on certain things when you don't stay at a Disney hotel. On-site transportation at a more frequent rate than at off-property hotels, that inherent Disney magic, extra time in the parks in the morning and also at night for deluxe hotel guests, remembering what a comforter feels like. That's a joke. If you know, you know. But I do think it's helpful to encourage everyone to think outside the box for what fits your needs based on what you're doing. Because last trip, on my Epcot days with the baby, being within walking distance and staying at the Walt Disney World Swan Reserve really was the best choice for us. And remember, when you're at Walt Disney World, you are always close to some things and far away from others. Even if you stay at a Resort Loop monorail hotel, you'll be steps from the Magic Kingdom, but you're going to have to hike over to Animal Kingdom. So perspective, when it comes to Disney World hotels, it's all relative. Something else I am never, ever, ever gonna do again if I don't have to is park at Mickey and Friends, the main parking structure at Disneyland Resort. It is simply not happening if I can help it. I have lost truly hours of my life waiting to inch up slowly towards those ticket payment booths at the big parking lot. And now that I have a baby in the back seat, that's time I cannot tack on to our drive time. I truly cannot. 70, 80, 90 minutes is already a long time for a young little baby to be in the car. But if I have to add on 20, 30 more minutes, not to mention the fact that you simply cannot move or easily pull over to grab a toy or change a diaper or anything while you're there, it's just not gonna happen. I have actually been evaluating all the options firsthandedly lately, deep researching Disney's parking options. And truly, they're essentially six of one. Six of one, half dozen of the other. That's the right phrase. Yeah, six of one, half dozen of the other. I've enjoyed parking at the Anaheim Hotel. It's so close and you save a few bucks by doing so. I mean, truly like $3, but hey, it all helps. But the problem at the Anaheim Hotel is that even though the walk is so short, the anxiety of getting there early enough to grab one of their limited spots stresses me out from the moment I close my car door. Then there's Toy Story parking, a blissful entrance. The last few visits, I haven't even waited behind another car to pull up and pay, which essentially puts it in a different solar system than Mickey and Friends. But I don't always feel like taking the bus, and the walk from there is deceivingly long. It's about a full 20 minutes, even if you're walking at my fast pace. And then there's Pixar Pals, the parking structure that is directly next to Mickey and Friends, where the vibe is kind of like, yeah, we're twins, but we are not the same person. They share the same security and tram and walking ramp into Downtown Disney, but it's better. I'm going to say it's better because it's better. However, it is quite promising as being my go-to ride-or-die parking lot. It is still a hike from there if you take the ramp down to security and eventually into the park. It ends up taking around the same time as walking from Toy Story parking. But the reason I'm apprehensive about saying it's my favorite and the one I will go to from now on is that I've only parked at Pixar Pals once using their direct entrance, and it went flawlessly. It went shockingly well. However, I do know that lately, they have been occasionally redirecting traffic from Mickey and Friends into their entrance. So I'm scared to swear by it and then discover I'm in like Mickey and Friends Part 2 traffic jam. We're going to see how it goes. I'm going to do it later this week. We're going to find out. I'm a little apprehensive, but when it works, oh my gosh, it works. I'm going to keep tentatively attempting to park there if I don't chicken out and just go straight to the Anaheim Hotel and ride that stress wave and hope for the best on my final decision. But I will keep my official parking solid choice for the future, because I have to still experiment a few more times at all of them. But Mickey and Friends, for sure, it's not happening. And yes, I personally prefer to walk over waiting for the tram, but honestly, now that I have a kid, it is solidified. That is why this makes it into this episode. The ease of the tram is so easy if you can just hop on. But when it comes to the caveat of needing to fold up my stroller and everything inside after I just ripped it all out to go through security, I simply cannot. I simply cannot do it. So I may be a Pixar Pals person. I may be solidly a Toy Story person. Stay tuned for which one I end up at. Thrilling, thrilling, thrilling. But Pixar Pals is a much better alternative if you happen to be right there and can pull ahead into the entrance. It's just better so far, as long as they don't keep redirecting traffic. Another thing I'm a little scared to say this one. But another thing that I won't do at a theme park is a ticketed party event. I say this with a gigantic caveat, and that is I will go back on this in a heartbeat. If the right ticketed party presents itself for me, the type of event that really feels like it has something I'm dying to see, I'm there. I will roll over on that statement in a second. I am throwing this out the window in the sense that I was losing my mind when the Muppets were caroling at Disney's nighttime holiday party. That was worth it alone. So truly, if they did like a Duffy night, a Muppets night, a night that really centered around my personal niche theme park interests, I would be busting down the gates, no question. But for me, lately, the past few years, these ticketed events really aren't a huge priority. And Disneyland does have a lot of After Dark events coming up that admittedly sound cool. Disney Channel Night sounds fun. Star Wars Night is going to be a blast, I'm sure. They had those Sweethearts Nights during Valentine's Day timing. But I genuinely one of the reasons I'm kind of turned off to these is that I find them to be stressful. There's a lot of one night only experiences and character meets and photo ops. And for me, I can get so bogged down with the stress of needing to see the things that I came for that I end up spending a lot of money to wait in line for a photo op or just spend the night shuffling around trying to do too much instead of enjoying the additional layer of theming provided within the park. Same thing with food. I don't love a temporary food, as we're discussing in this episode, but spending money to stress about spending money during that limited window is just too much for my brain to tolerate. All of that said, there is an exception to this. What I'm saying for me does not include Disney After Hours. That is the special ticketed evening event, which I've only done at Magic Kingdom, but they now have it in multiple parks at Disney World. And essentially, you just have free run of the park. When I have gone in the past, the lines for rides were so minimal. It was so much fun. You also get snacks. You get ice cream, popcorn, drinks included. Like, I just ran around the park riding rides, eating popcorn. It felt like I was friends with royalty and they rented out the park and they let us just run amok in it. That event I do really like. However, I don't see myself going to that anytime soon because I can't stay off that late anymore. But Disney After Hours is a clutch event. That is a good event. And I'm considering that separate from this because that, well, I guess it is the same. But to me, that's just, it's not, you know, there's not really special experiences. It's not themed. It's just a late night event if you want to power through rides. And it's very fun. I do recommend that one. But going back to everything else I said. Now, again, I'm not out for the count on these. I've heard Disneyland After Dark Pride Night is the party to go to. I have heard it is absolutely incredible. It is so much fun. And I do genuinely love the idea of celebrating and praising that community inside the parks. What an incredible time that must be. But again, it's just not going to a nighttime party just isn't for me. If I do another ticketed event in the future or this year, it would probably be one of the Halloween ones. Mickey's Not So Scary and Oogie Boogie Bash, I think, are such great options for really just juicing your holiday joy. Like, it just gives you that full punch of Halloween excitement. But again, because I don't celebrate Christmas, I don't crave doing Very Merry like most people do. These are just a little left of center to me. But honestly, in 2024, even if I wanted to go, it would give me some pause to spend money on one of these tickets because that's money I could spend on a full day ticket that I would probably get more use out of. So it's just not always worth the cost and worth the effort for me personally. Many people disagree. And like, if you're a Star Wars fan, Star Wars night, are you kidding me? Incredible. But for me, I'll be at home sitting on the couch watching TV, eating dinner. I'm sorry. I will be. We're going to take a quick little commercial break, but after this, we're going to have some more theme park opinions that might get me canceled. Stay tuned! Please stay tuned. I'm scared. I'm honest, but I'm scared. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince. But no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're out here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, it kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with just a few more things I simply won't do at a theme park. This one may get me in a little trouble because it's a bit of a gray area, but essentially, I'm not going on a carnival ride masquerading as a theme park attraction. Frankly, let me explain myself. But when I'm spending this much to get in the door, I mean, tickets and parking alone could hit $200 easily. I really want to focus on themed experiences I can only have here. Disney and Universal have some of the best attractions in the entire world at parks on both coasts, and I don't want to squander that. And this doesn't mean that I will only go on thrill rides or there's only certain things I will go on, because Dumbo, for example, I would consider to be a true blue theme park ride, even though at its core, it's just a basic spinner. But it's Dumbo, it's special. There's an element to it that elevates it above the rest. But something where the theming isn't charming enough to outweigh the fact that I know this is just a basic ride mechanism that Disney or Universal didn't come up with themselves. They just kind of slapped some theming on it. I'm not wasting my time waiting in line. Now, you may be thinking, what are these attractions? Does she mean Triceratops Spin? I don't. That actually gets a pass for me because it matches the theming of the land so well. But something like Dr. Doom's Fearfall at Universal Islands of Adventure or Goofy's Sky School at Disney California Adventure, I'm never going on them. I'm never going on them again. And I know the people listening to this, Goofy Sky School specifically, people love Goofy Sky School. People have like a place in their heart for it. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's a crazy mouse. That ride can be found at carnivals like around the country, anywhere you go, indoor theme parks, small places like that ride mechanism can be found easily. And there's nothing especially goofy about it. Like Goofy's my favorite Disney character and I still don't get that goofy je ne sais quoi, one might say. I don't get that from that ride. It's not enough for me to want to go on it when I could go on so many other things that are so special, so Disney, so Universal that you can really only do there. And if it's all about prioritizing your time and doing what you want while you're there, I'm not wasting my time on those two attractions. There are probably other ones that are on the line. If you think of any that you want to know my thoughts on, feel free to ask me. But in terms of that, like, those are carnival rides to the core, and I'm not doing it. Will I go on the swings at DCA? You know I will. You know I love a swing ride, especially because the soundtrack and, like, the layout of the park, like, being on the swings at DCA is so special. Silly Symphony swings I'm talking about. But Goofy Sky School? You won't catch me there anytime soon. Another thing that I won't do at a theme park? Pteranodon Flyers. Not for lack of trying. If you don't know what Pteranodon Flyers is, it is essentially, I joke, but a little bit true, the reason I had a child. Because you cannot go on Pteranodon Flyers as an adult. It's probably the only, I'm running through things in my head, the only thing you can't go on as an adult without having a child or someone shorter with you. I have wanted to go on this attraction since the moment I saw it. It's at Universal's Islands of Adventure in Orlando, and you just get to basically, you get a special vantage point above the park. You get to fly around in a Jurassic Park themed attraction. It is so wonderful. It looks so much fun. And I have never been able to time it out of being in that park with someone's child that I can go on this ride with. It just hasn't happened for me. I've literally been at Islands of Adventure with multiple Universal publicists. Multiple. I'm not kidding. Multiple. That's how many years I have been trying to get on this ride. Different publicists. People have left jobs and started jobs and left them. I have tried multiple times to get on this ride being like, come on, can you just like make an exception? Can you just like let me, is this okay? And they won't do it. There's no way to get on this ride without someone shorter than you. So, I mean, Pearl better grow fast because I need to go on this ride as soon as possible. I want to go on it so bad. It looks so fun. And I'm sure once I'm on, it'll be like, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was all right. But I want to do it and they won't let me on. They won't let me on. So if I ever run into you when I'm at Universal and you have a child with you and you want to do this ride together, I am there. And I will also buy your child any sort of dessert, any ice cream cone, any treat to thank them for letting me accompany them on this ride that I'm being gatekept from. I'm being gatekept from it. It makes me sad. A thing I won't do at a theme park. Another, this is just turning into a rant, but I haven't talked about this on the podcast before at length, and we really need to get into this because I'm never, ever going to get over the fact that Pimp Test Kitchen removed their best item. The Choco Smash candy bar was one of the all-time great items introduced to Disney California Adventure. It opened in, remember it was during the pandemic, was that 2021 or 2022? It's all a blur in my brain. I covered it here, I remember. But anyway, this was an excellent item. It was under $10. It was a big dessert you could share with people, and it was delicious. The layers in that homemade candy bar were phenomenal. The nougat, the chocolate, the brownie layer, it was so good. It was so good that I would bring it home and freeze it so I could have the rest at another time. It was excellent. And then recently, I think it was in November of last year, they got rid of it. They just got rid of it and replaced it with a Choco Smash cake. And that just doesn't sit right with me because the entire ideation of this food was that it fit the theming of this area. You use Pim particles to make a small food big or a big food small. And making a candy bar a gigantic dessert-sized thing really just adds to the theming of this place. A slice of cake does nothing. For a cake to have that same effect, you need to give me essentially a platter with like 6 or 7 teeny tiny baby cakes on them. This is just a slice of cake with a similar flavor profile. It's not the same. It's upsetting to me. Now, what really doesn't sit right with me is that it feels like nothing more than a cost-cutting initiative. I'm sure those candy bars, the margins weren't that good on them because they were pretty affordable for what they were. They were high quality and they were delicious. And now it's just a slice of something you make big and then cut pieces off of. It's not the same. And I'm very upset about it. And I don't know what to do because I miss this candy bar so much. If you've had it, if I'm breaking this news to you, I am so sorry because it was one of the all-time great desserts at Disneyland Resort. And now it's gone. And now it's gone. And I'm really upset about it. And I need to power through. But still, it does not sit well that it's gone. I also want to add, and this is just a funny aside, that when I was just making sure I had the name of the new product correctly, I Googled it and there were Google reviews of the restaurant and one popped up that said, it was, I think they gave them 2 stars and they said, false advertising, regular sized chicken on a 2-inch bun, dry and a waste of money. And I guess, like, I get it. Like, I want you to enjoy your meal, but like, the whole funny is that it's like a big piece of chicken on a little bun. That's the whole storytelling. I mean, maybe that's why they got rid of something like the chocolate bar. But still, I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken over it. I bring it up constantly in real life, and I'm upset. I'm upset, but it's going to be okay. But I remain upset. Now, there are a couple things that are on the bubble I'm not saying I won't do them again. I'm not saying I'm done with them. I don't cast them off. But I'm considering it. And one of the things I'm considering, this might get me in a little trouble. One of the things I'm considering is no longer going, okay, I almost want to take it back while I say it, but I'm considering no longer planning to go to Gideon's at Disney Springs. Even as I say that, I'm going to say it with, of course, the caveat that I'm going to take it back to go and get their coffees. Their coffees are fantastic. They have occasional secret menu items like a hot cookie hour, stuff like that. I will go there for that. I will try to do it. And I may take this back based on schedule and convenience and if there isn't a really, really long line and what my schedule looks like, things like that. But essentially, if I can make it off property to get these cookies, I'm going to do that instead because I cannot have this level of unpredictability when it comes to getting my goods when I'm only going to the parks for a much, much shorter time now that I have a little baby. I'm not going as often. I'm not there all the time. And like, if I can't replenish my freezer with cookies, we're going to have a problem. we're gonna have a problem. I am so obsessed with these cookies that I bring them home. What I do is I bring my Gideons home. I'll explain how I get them in a second. I bring them home. I cut them into pieces, but I don't cut them just willy-nilly into pieces. I cut them into two different types of chunks. This is psychotic. Oh my God. I cut them basically into eighths. So like an eighth size piece. And then I cut them into 16th size pieces. So if I want a bigger chunk, if I want a little snack, and then I wrap those up in wax paper. This is, I can't believe this is going to sound so weird when I say this out loud. I wrap them up in wax paper and then I put them in freezer bags, and I put two different types of cookies in freezer bags. So, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And on the front of the freezer bag, I put an arrow up and an arrow down. And an arrow down is the cookie that's on the bottom, and an arrow up is the cookie is on the top. So it'll be like chocolate chip, cookies and cream. And chocolate chip is on the top, cookies and cream down below. So that way when I'm going to snack, I don't have to open everything. I know exactly where everything is, and I have different pre-cut portion sizes, so I can make like a little personal cookie platter at night if I want different flavors. That is how much I love a Gideon's cookies. So I cannot rely on just waltzing up to Disney Springs on a random day, because you might be in line for 45 minutes for an hour. And when I'm at the parks, I'm also kind of working, or I'm fully working. Even if I'm there just casually, I got to do work. I got to do stuff. And I can't really allot that much time to it. So I'm going to do my best. Besides, I love those coffees at Disney Springs, so I will have to go in the mornings for those. But I think I'm going to be an East End Market person for life. Because as I mentioned, if you have a car, it is totally doable adding it in, just leaving a little earlier and going on your way. I love placing a pre-order. That way I know exactly what I'm going to get. I don't have to take any chances, and I can order as many cookies as I need. I also like to get some special treats for friends or people back home. I like to add a few in. I have got my friend Eric hooked on Gideon's cookies, and he never goes to Florida, so I always bring him back one or two. And being able to pre-order at East End Market is so clutch for that. Similarly, as I mentioned, using TaskRabbit to have the cookies delivered to you either at your hotel or at your park, it does obviously cost a fee, a huge premium on top of just, you know, if you wanted to just casually wait in line, that's free, or do the virtual queue, that's also free at the Disney Springs location. But I need to know I'm going to bring these cookies home. It is essential for me. It is the one thing I absolutely need. I rely on them. And so using TaskRabbit is the same sort of thing. I can pre-order and schedule everything and make sure everything is set, because I got to get my cookies. So Disney Springs, the coffee, oh my God, the cold brew is so good. But again, I don't think I can do it. And the last thing that is also on the bubble, I'm going to do it in Florida, I'm not going to rely on it, is that I may be done with fuel rods. I did use them on my recent Walt Disney World trip, but I usually swear by them at Disneyland. And I have been loving, I have a Casetify phone charger that, what is that? MagSafe, that's what it's called. It's a MagSafe phone charger that just sticks to my phone. And this way I don't have the cord dangling. I don't have that little tail where like that falls out all the time. Also, all of my little cords that I tend to use for my chargers, I always pack one for the parks. Sometimes they get bent and they don't work. And if your cord doesn't work and you have that external charger, you're out of luck. You're out of luck. Your phone dies, you're in trouble. And so much of these park visits relies on you using your phone. So going forward, I am more likely to use my attachable charger just because it's so easy. It's so convenient. It's always in my purse. It's always handy. And I don't need an extra piece to it. But in Florida, I will be packing my fuel rod just as a backup to that one if I need an additional charge on top of that. However, I cannot recommend that Casetify one enough. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's a fantastic product. I leave it charged next to my purse at home. I bring it everywhere I go. And it's really nice. And they have really cute covers. And so it's more pleasing than fuel rod. Again, fuel rod is so convenient. A one-time charge to really keep your phone charged forever and ever and ever. But for someone who forgets things and just worries about being able, that cord has shorted out on me before. So if I packed two cords, it would solve this problem. But still, I love my cordless charger. I love my cordless charger. And I think that's it. I think that's all the things I won't do at a theme park in 2024. If you have any that you are like, oh, I won't do this one thing, and you want to tell me about it, please call into the Churros Hotline. I was racking my brain for if there were any others, and I'm very curious if you have some. And if any of these really upset you, I apologize deeply. I do. This is just one woman's perspective. Trust me, people love Mission Space. People love the food festivals, and I'm so happy for them. These are just personally the things that I'm not really vibing with, and that's okay too. But let me know whichever way you feel at 747 Churros. Otherwise, thank you for listening. And if you see me in line at Gideon's at Disney Springs, you know I'm getting a coffee. But I'm also probably ordering cookies from East End Market, because I love it both ways. Oh, I love those cookies. I love them.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Carly, my name is Joni, and I'm calling from Philadelphia. I have a Chicago-based question rather than a theme park question. I'll be going to Chicago the last week of March for a work conference and just listened to you talk about tavern-style pizza, so we'll definitely want to check that out. But do you have any other recommendations for evening things to do after a conference ends in Chicago for 3 days? I love the podcast. Thanks so much. Bye.
Hi, Joni. Okay, fantastic question. I'm going to tell you straight out of the gate that architectural boat tours are worth going on. They are actually good. You're going to see them everywhere. You're going to be like, that's touristy. Is it worth it? It is worth it. It is so much fun. It's like a top choice of mine of things to recommend. I went to Chicago. When was that? Last summer? I don't even remember at this point. My last trip to Chicago, I stayed downtown for a night and I really wanted to go on one. They kind of advise against babies being there. I don't know what the deal with that is. So we chose not to do it, but the architectural boat tours are fantastic. The Shedd Aquarium, also super fun. The museums in Chicago, I don't know why people don't openly talk about like Chicago being a huge museum town. It's more, I feel like New York gets that kind of branding. The museums in Chicago are unbelievable. I can't believe I grew up going to these museums as my regular museums. I've been to the Shedd Aquarium as an adult. It is a really good aquarium. But lately, and I don't know why this is creeping into my brain, so this is perfect timing. I have been thinking a lot about the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago because it is excellent. It is, they have some of the most unbelievable exhibits. And I was just like tooling around on the website going, is it actually as good as I remember from when I was a kid? And they have some stuff coming out that is sick. So they have this, I actually don't even remember this from being a kid, but they have a 5-story domed theater that they play things inside. And starting March 7th, so this should be while you're there, they have one of the movies. It's not like, ooh, space. I mean, they literally also have that. But they have one that's called Michael Jordan to the Max. And it's just a gigantic screening of like Michael Jordan's final NBA season and like all of and like the highs and lows of that. If the weather's nice, you're going to have so many opportunities to just wander around and do stuff. Millennium Park, great. You got to see the Bean. You got to see, it's called like Cloud Sky Gate, whatever it's called. No one cares. It's called the Bean. Everyone calls it the Bean. You got to see that. If you can go to a baseball game, I don't know what season baseball is. I'm really outing myself right now. But if there's baseball in March, going to Wrigley Field is so much fun because it's one of those, it's right in the middle of the city. So like the scene around it is bonkers. Like I have a friend who used to live just a block away, a block away from a baseball stadium. It's so much fun. Truly, the tourist stuff in Chicago is so legit. I'm basically just yelling the top 10 Google results at you at this point. But it really, wow, Chicago, you know, it's a good city. I'm from a good city. I texted my brother to ask for his favorite tavern style pizza in Chicago. And he sent me, so he sent me two things. He sent me a link to, there's actually a Chicago eater map for tavern style thin crust pizza in Chicago. I'm going to put that in the show notes. That is reliable from, takes one to know one. I write eater maps all the time. So I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, it's kind of like a sister or a brother to this to use one of their maps. Sorry, I'm so excited about being asked about home that I just can't contain my energy. And also my brother, you know, tavern style pizza expert, says that Lou Malnati's thin crust is excellent and reminds me that if you go there, you have the option to have both deep dish pizza and thin crust pizza in one fell swoop, which is very, very convenient. Lou Malnati's is my favorite deep dish pizza. I really like going in person to the ones downtown too, because you can make your own. You can choose your own ingredients, which is really fun. Usually when you get them frozen and delivered cross country, there's set flavors. And like usually growing up, we would just usually get like pepperoni or sausage. But I really like doing that. And I like adding garlic. I like getting garlic in my little Lou Malnati's pizzas. But yeah, get a tavern style there so you can compare and contrast, which would be such a fun dinner. I'm so jealous. Oh, the Field Museum is also great. Lincoln Park Zoo. You're just wandering through a park and boom, there's a zoo. Chicago's pretty great, isn't it? I haven't been back in a long time, but it's real great. I don't want to inundate you with more stuff, but also I'm going to tell you to go to Portillo's. You know, I'm going to tell you that. if you're home. And then I don't think, do they still have, hold on, I'm Googling this in real time. I think they closed one of my favorite places. Oh, no, it's still Chicago. So I don't know where you're going to be. But if you are near River West Plaza, 770 North Halsted Street, you can go to my favorite frozen yogurt place, which is Love's. It's in the suburbs of Chicago. I love it. They have their peanut butter soft serve. Is excellent. If you've ever seen me post videos from inside my kitchen, I have these three framed photos of like salad bar ingredients and frozen yogurt that came clearly from like an old restaurant. Those are from Love's. Love's is my everything. So if you find yourself near there, get yourself some of that. There's so many other things I could recommend. I should just eventually post a guide. But I think assuming that if you're going to a conference, you're in that downtown area, I would recommend doing the touristy stuff because it is really good. I got to go to Museum of Science and Industry the next time I'm in town. I haven't been there in forever. I want to see that Michael Jordan film. Have so much fun. Get yourself a hot dog if you're inclined, or Portillo's now has veggie dogs, so you can have the full experience, the little sport peppers, and have so much fun. Thank you for calling. That's our show! I don't know why I did that in Kermit the Frog voice, but I did. Thank you all so much for listening. You've heard me say this 10,000 times, but if today's the day you haven't done it, if you haven't done it, today's the day to do it. That's what I meant to say. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. Again, I stress this is a huge deal. It means a lot. I'm like pretty sure they check this before people okay ads on this podcast. So please, please, it would be nice. I appreciate all of the reviews and all of the likings and all of those sort of things. You can give us a call about your thoughts about this episode, your thoughts about the parks, something you're looking forward to, something you have a question about. We don't just answer like pain point questions. We're happy to talk about whatever. If you want me to talk about something I never talk about, if you want to know my thoughts on this, that, or the other thing, if you have a gripe, let her rip. Call 747-CHURROS, text it in a voice note, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. You can purchase Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. I'm not going to lie, I wear the clothes all the time. I wear the clothes all the time, and the quality is really good. Like, the quality's, I don't want to toot my own horn, but like, the quality's really, really, really good. I've been wearing this stuff for a while, and none of it has worn out somehow. I'm very happy with it. And I hope everyone who owns Very Amusing merchandise feels the same, but I want you to feel comfortable where if you're going to spend this, like, this much money, it's normal, like, t-shirt prices and things, but the quality is so good, and this stuff lasts a really long time. I wear my cropped sweatshirts every other day. Oh, I hit the mic. I wear them every other day and I love them. So yeah, a little plug for the merch. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel. I'm now using Threads more. So follow me there. It's that Instagram, Twitter thing. And you can join the Fomaly at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. This episode was edited recklessly by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. I just want to tell you I loved your Very Amusing 3-part Tokyo Disney trilogy. Yep, trilogy. This was awesome. You are a world of knowledge, and you know what? I don't know anyone that gives such detailed and wonderful information on how to travel to Disney Tokyo. You are very giving, and you really spent a lot of time on this, and it shows. I hope I see a book in your future. I really hope that. I was surprised to hear that the monorail costs money when we get it for free in Florida and in Los Angeles. I think that's crazy. But anyway, what got Dad's attention was the Mr. Donut, because he loves donuts, and that would have been his favorite place to go. So, yes, you are right. I did pay $45 in L.A. for 2 coffees, 1 juice, 1 muffin. L.A. is crazy. And I'm not, don't even get me started with the tips and rounding up and, okay, but that's not Disney content, so I'll leave that out. But all I want to say is that you are the ramen queen, honey. You did bring a case of ramen with you to overnight camp at Camp Shy. That was so funny. Send ramen, Mom. So I did send you a ton, but you did bring a lot to camp. Anyway, Tokyo has coffee, cool bars, shopping. I'm obsessed. That Matsumoto, I think you said, store, and arcade games and photo booths and Kiddyland. I am so obsessed, and all I want to know is when are we going? Great 3-part episodes. I loved this one. I love you. I love you, Pearl. And I love you, John Stamos. And yes, I did tell John Stamos that I loved him after every episode of Very Amusing. I did. A little embarrassed, but yes, I did tell him that. See you next week. Love you guys.